All right, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome back to our broadcast this wonderful evening. Bible study, hope and prayer everybody's doing well out there in internet land. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the video. And we hope and pray that you're having an awesome day, awesome resurrection past this past week. And we're still basking in all that God has good done and is doing. We hope and pray again that we continue to celebrate that year round. It shouldn't be just a one day experience. It shouldn't just be a one event time, but it should be a lifestyle to where you are up and excited about Christ, excited about who he is and what he's done for us, and tell somebody about him as well. So we encourage you to continue to let the excitement and the zeal of the Lord rest upon you. Go and share the good news with somebody else. We are grateful to have each one here. And we encourage you also to share the videos. If you're on Facebook, share the video out with your friends, your loved ones on your page. Don't be ashamed to share the videos. Share the videos out to your friends and loved ones on your page. And then also over on YouTube side as well, on the YouTube side as well. Share the link out. I send them out to my WhatsApp group. Many of you may have gotten it through WhatsApp. Some of the church members and whoever's in our church group. And so hit the thumbs up on it. Hit the thumbs up and give the YouTube a like and give the Facebook a like so it can get the algorithm going. What is the algorithm? To where it begins to spread. It spreads to, again, more viewership. And the more people are watching, the more viewership that Facebook allows. So the more the merrier, as they go. And so we continue. We're going to pick back up. Last week we covered death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ being Easter. But now we want to cover the back on our trackers where we've been covering our overview of the Word of God. And so we've been covering all 66 books. We are up to book number 65, believe it or not. The book number 65 is the book of Jude. It's a one chapter book. And so it's 20, maybe 24 verses, maybe 25 verses that are action packed. It's really dealing with a lot in that short amount of time. Sometimes you can get right to the point. Many times people say, oh, your service too short. It's Sunday morning, 2 hours. And I say, wow, we was in there for 2 hours. But again, our services and various things can get right to the point many times. We don't have to drag it out and do all these different things and let the Spirit of God move. And so in these short little 20-something verses, Jude got to the point. He got to the point. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for another opportunity to come, God, to study your word. God, we pray for our Bible study this evening. God, that men and women will be blessed by it. That they will receive of your word, God, let it find a lodging place in their hearts. And Lord, we pray, God, that whoever's watching this video will be blessed by Almighty God. And God, that they will take heed and allow your will to be done in their lives. We're going to give you praise and glory and honor. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. All righty. All right, so the book of Jude. Who is Jude? Jude is the half-brother of Jesus. He's the half-brother. Why you say half? Don't they have the same father? Well, as you all know, Jesus was born of the virgin birth. So his father, he was in bringing about through the Holy Spirit. His heavenly father's in heaven. And so he didn't have an earthly father. He came from above. And so so he's only half. Now, Jude and James and others, as you go back and read the New Testament, Jesus had later on had half brothers. Again, Mary and Joseph went on and had a family. She was no longer a virgin. She went on and had a family that got married and went on and had a family. Amen. And that's important. Get married and go on and raise up a family. Amen. You're going to have children and all these different things. Get married. Do it the right way. But anyway, we look at this about how that he was the brother, half brother of Jesus. Can you imagine that we share with you teasingly about growing up in the house of Jesus, man? It was hard to live up. Big brother Jesus was probably hard to live up to things in which he would do, the things in which the example that he set. And church, thank God he's the ultimate example this evening. So let's go into it tonight. The only chapter, verse 1, the Bible, I'm just reading it tonight. The Bible says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, he says, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ the called. So again, that's most of these letters, the latter books in the New Testament are letters written to the churches. They're written to the believers. They're written to all of us. And so We must continue to focus on that. We must continue to realize that as these letters, not only just for them, but it was for all of us, that all of us to be able to receive of it. And throughout the history of time, these would now be documented for mankind to be able to go off of. And the thing is, I like what he said here, he's a servant. In church today, God calls us all, every believer should be a servant, willing to do something for the kingdom of God. And so he said, I'm a servant unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a servant, willing to do whatever, be willing to help as things get up and come along, whether it's helping in the church, cleaning the church, cutting the grass, helping in soul winning, going out, being a help, helping teach, helping to pick up people, helping to do something. We should all be willing to serve and do our part, serve in the community, serve, again, whether it's being a blessing to someone else. And so we want to be a blessing, to serve for the kingdom of God. To what are we serving for? To help them see Christ and help them understand the glory and the gift of salvation. And they're won over because we're willing to serve. Amen. Let's go to verse 2. The Bible says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. So again, he's just really speaking blessings on God's mercy. He was speaking about God's peace and God's love be multiplied on your life. Blessings upon your life. Again, he initially was wanting to see the church blessed. Again, today you pronounce blessings on your brothers and sisters, blessings on people. Why? Because that's God's will. Again, God's desire is not to see people cursed, but his desire was to see people blessed. And so the blessing of mercy, God's mercy, and we're thankful today for his mercy, for what he did on the cross for us. It's an unmerited favor that he gives to us, that grace and that mercy that God gives. And so he said also peace. He was praying that they will be at peace. Many times there are things that raise up throughout your day, throughout your life. And so it can disturb your peace. Things get under your skin, trouble in the household or kids or work, on and on and on. Things are going on in our world, and it's hard to get peace in the soul. And so he was praying for peace in their lives, peace in their minds, and also the love of God. He was just letting the love be multiplied upon love, and letting them know that God loved them. And let us show and multiply the love of God to others as well. And so the book of Jude, let me back up real quickly. It's also broken into four parts. One was the opening here that he was given, and really just a salutation of continuing, and really just opening and beginning to greet the church. And there's another part about he's going to open up the second part about false teachings, 5 through 16. Part three will be about some examples and some things in which we need to do to maintain again today, or to overcome again the things they do come, and to stand firm in God's word. And then also the praise, closing praise and encouragement at the end. So all right, let me go back to where we were. But verse three, let's go to verse three. The Bible says, beloved, I give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, that it be needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that she should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And so he's encouraging them again to, it's a fight to contend. You think about boxing, they use the number one contender or one fighting for a fighter. And so we're contending for the title, and we're contending for the faith. It's a spiritual battle that you go through, a spiritual warfare that we're in. And so he says, you must fight. It's not going to be easy. You think when you call on the name of Jesus, he's just going to lay down? The devil's going to just lay down? You think, well, once you pray for salvation, it's over? No, the battle just begins. The battle begins to rage. Demons, you upset demons by coming to church. You upset the devils by coming and praising God and praying and reading your Bible. The devil's upset. He's going to do all he can to wreak havoc in your life. And so you must contend. You must fight for your sanity. Fight for your right. Fight for your well-being. Fight for your family. Fight for the community, fight for the lost. It's a fight even for the lost of mankind. We must have compassion like Jesus. Jesus came to contend for the lost. There's a warfare for the lost. And so we want to see the lost won. And so it's a battle, brother. We need you to go into battle with us, to go into prayer with us, to go into spiritual warfare with us, to see the lost won as well. Let's look at the rest of these scriptures. The Bible says it was once delivered unto the saints. And so the word of God being delivered to the saints, delivered to the brethren, delivered to again those that will believe. And so the word of God that was for them is for us as well. It's not just for again for the old days, but it's current even as we speak now. Let's go verse 4. He says, for there is certain men crept in unaware. And so this is the warning he's beginning to go. For the next few verses, he's going to go into warning about what is happening. Even this is only a few years since Jesus had gone away and going back to heaven. And so already, immediately after he went back into heaven, there was falsehoods beginning to happen. Falsehoods of him not raising from the dead. Falsehoods about even just what Jesus even taught. Just that quickly, people can get the scriptures twisted. They can get the teachings twisted just in a short period of time. And so probably even while Christ was there, they would twist up Christ's words, some unknowingly, some unknowingly. And that's how things begin to deviate. And so he was trying to let them know, much like these scriptures in the Old New Testament, are there to try to keep the church in order, keep the church straight. Again, I keep the church lined up with the teachings of Christ. And who better to know than Jude? Better to know. And it's even stated that Jude is short for Judah. Jude is short for Judah as well. I want to stick that in there. But some even pronounce it Judah. Jude. Again, and so you look at that. But we here for years have called it Jude. Most times people call it Jude. But let's look at this. So he says, beware of certain men that crept in. So false doctrines, even the falsehood of the Pharisees and the Sadducees still was lingering. And then there comes along false teachings within Christ itself. The Latter-day Saints is a false doctrine. Jehovah's Witnesses have a form of God, but false doctrine coming up this weekend. They tap the name of Christ, or they stick the name of Jesus. They may speak the name of Jesus. Even Muslims talk about Jesus being a prophet, but not the Son of God, not the Savior of the world. But he is the Savior of the world. So Satan knows how to just tag Jesus along. But again, his focus, again, in the primary thought of Christ being the supreme one, again, is kind of taken away or twisted up, or even doctrines that swayed away or have false teachings, again, that are against the contrary to the word of God. Now, let's look at some more. He says, they crept in who are of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. So that was one of the things they were doing as well. Turning the grace of God into a false, fleshly type of religion where anything goes. Lasciviousness, greed, and filth, and lust, and all these things are creeping on through the church. You can go to places and it goes on. No, every church got its problems. And so, but the problem was they wasn't preaching against it. They wasn't dealing with it. They was letting anything go. People sleeping around, people running around, and the women just doing whatever they were doing, acting up and doing all type of things. And really, the church became a social club. It was becoming a place where it didn't even look like a church, or the teachers of a church say, oh no, this is supposed to be a holy place. It's supposed to be a place of righteousness. So lasciviousness. So where there's sexual deviation going on in probably in the teachers themselves and the preachers themselves, deacon board and choir members, all these different things. He says it crept in. It crept in, and it's even in our world today. Church must be pure. Church must be pure. And again, back to what we're saying, being a servant of the Lord, we believe that you are living the life associated with it. Amen. And so to be used by God and to be used correctly, again in the day, make sure you escape these things that you proclaim Christ is forgiving you of, and to repent of those things. But he said they crept in, they were justified their sins. They were justified the fault, the sins and the ungodliness that was in the church. We can't justify it. You deal with it. Clean up is not allowed. It's not acceptable unto God. The Bible says, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So not only just fleshly and sinful worship, sinful people and leadership and on and on and on, but they even came to the place of denying the Lord Jesus Christ. They were denying it and beginning to revert away from who Christ is. Let's go to verses 5. I therefore put your remembrance, though ye knew this, once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And so he gave them warning again. So the purpose of the Old Testament was a warning. And so naturally, the people he was reaching to, a lot of the Jewish converts, they were overly familiar with the laws of Moses, the stories of Moses, the stories in the Old Testament. And so he would use that as a schoolmaster, as we oftentimes talk about, a learning tool, so we can be warned, we can learn of these issues that popped up. The Bible says in the wilderness, God had freed them from Pharaoh. And then they would go back and start worshiping idols. Then they went back and start having, again, orgies and various things in the wilderness. And Moses was like, what in the world? God has just done an awesome, miraculous thing. And you've claimed that you're the God, that you serve the God of heaven, but you're living like the Egyptians. And so it is in the New Testament. When you ask Christ into your life, you stop living like the world. You stop living like the world. And so God destroyed them because they didn't believe. And people don't like that. People don't like, again, hearing, oh, well, God's grace. God is still the same God as yesterday. If you are living in habitual sin, if you're living in habitual sin, you've never been born again. The born again experience changes you. The power of the blood changes. There are certain things that you just, the Holy Ghost will not allow you to do. And if you do it, you repent of it, but you don't go back to it habitually over and over and over and over, and cursing and lying and cheating and stealing. You mean you check your heart. Have I really been born again? Or am I just religious? Am I just religious? Church today, we don't want you to be religious. We want you to be born again. And so Moses was blown away by this. That's why we said when Jesus gave his life, it was a new agreement. Now Jesus was going to live on the inside. God was going to be on the inside. Before, they were trying to do it on the outside. That's really the mistake of many. They're doing it out of tradition. They're doing it out of doing it on the outer appearance, or they're doing it on the outward external relationship. But it needs to be an internal personal relationship with God. And when the Holy Ghost is in you, and when you have a made up mind that you are not going to go back to Egypt, you're not going back to the world, you can do it, and God can keep you that way. The Bible says in verse 6, he said, the angels which are kept not their first estate, he says, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains on the darkness unto the judgment of that great day. So he even used the angels. The angels, they once were in the presence of God. The fallen angels were once in the presence of God. Lucifer and the fallen angels, they were there. They knew the truth. They knew what was right. But the Bible says they will be cast into utter darkness. That's why Jesus said in the New Testament, he says, but we did this in your name. We did that in your name. We did all these different things in the name of Jesus. He said, I never knew you. I never knew you. He wasn't mine. I don't even recognize you. Who are you? What is your name? And so, again, we don't want to be like that. We want to be real with our Christian walk. Don't let Easter come and go, and that we see that a lot. Again, you have a crowd of folks on Easter, but let it, the resurrection, be in your life continually every day. Amen. On the Saturday night, it's in your heart. Amen. Amen. You're not in the club the night before, then come singing in the choir the next morning. No. That's not the way God wanted it to be. Right? Again today, and so God wants you to be true in your word, to be true to what you say. Number 70 went on to say, even as Sodom and Gomorrah had the cities about them like-minded, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, it are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. God has vengeance upon ungodliness. God is a God of love, but he's a God of judgment as well. And that gets lost. That get lost. It's lost in our 21st century gospel, but it's not lost. It's failed to be taught. The same God that loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, his battle for me is love, but he's also a God of judgment. And there comes a day where we have to stand before the judge. The Bible says it's appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Yes, he loves you all the way till. He even loves you all the way into the grave. He loves you all the way into hell. He's broken to see that. But he has to stick to his word. He has to stick to it. And God's word, we can't drift from God's word. There is still a judgment. We again, everybody wants to be thrown into heaven. Every funeral, oh, he was a good man, or she was this, or she was that. But and the people in the pew, they know their real lifestyle. The person knows. We do funerals, and man, you got to be really be careful doing funerals because, again, you don't know how they lived. I don't know how they lifestyle. I don't know. Maybe they were cursing God on their deathbed. I don't know. I wasn't there. And so, again today, how do you live? How do you live your life? And so we can't put everybody in heaven, is what I'm trying to say. Oh yeah, he got baptized when he was 6 years old. He's good for the rest of his life. He went and robbed a bank. He went and did all these different things. He got shot up by the cops. Oh yeah, he's in heaven now. You know what I'm saying? And so we must be real. We must be real with God. There's a separation between light and darkness. God pulls you out of darkness. God pulls you out of the life of crime. God pulls you out of ungodliness. He pulls us out to where you are born again. That's a born again. That's a new life, a new creature. So no, are these scriptures not real? He said, you are a new creature. There's a change in your life. I used to be a thief. I used to be a cursor. I used to be a drinker, running the streets, gangbanging, all these different things, whatever you may have done in your past. There's a difference when you come to Jesus. You're a new creature in Christ. There's a separation. So in our 21st century gospel, and Jude saw it from the top. Jude saw it just after a few years. It wasn't even 5 or 6 years since Jesus had gone away yet. And he saw it already. It only been a couple of years down the road. And he already saw how the enemy came in and messed up the teachings of Christ. And can you imagine now, 2,000 years later, it's a mess out there. It's a mess. And so it's like that game you used to play. You tell the story, and by the time it makes its way around the room, the story then totally changed. And so Jude was saying, stick to the truth. There's a difference, light and darkness. Good and evil, there's a difference. And we must come out of evil and live the life for Christ. The Bible says today, God judged them. And so, as we find in 21st century church, there are gay churches. I'll say it. So, I mean, he says Sodom and Gomorrah. He says even in Sodom and Gomorrah, there's gay everything. This, that, and the other is what Sodom and Gomorrah is about. No, these 21st century churches don't talk about these things. We go to a Bible-believing church. We are Bible-believing church, and we would deal with it. Don't be judgmental. I'm not being Jew. Jew would have been considered judgmental. He would have been considered judgmental. It's not judgmental. He's just bringing out the examples. God hates sin, brothers and sisters. God hates sin. And so he dealt with it. He was warning them again. He says, this is going on back to lasciviousness. That means an uncontrollable lust, desire, lustly, fleshly, lustly, lustful people. Sodom and Gomorrah was a mess. And it's just like it is. Jesus said, when I come back the next time, when I rapture the church, it's going to be just as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Ungodliness and filth, you see it everywhere. It's not just homosexuality, it's transgenders and fornication, babies all over the place out of wedlock. He got 10 kids all over the city, she got this and that. Why? Because again, these are things in which have crept in because the truth is no longer being taught. And so we must continue. God saves us and delivers from that. He says they go after strange flesh. Keep verse 7 up there. They go after strange flesh. Bestiality, all manners of stuff going on in our world. And set forth an example of suffering and the vengeance of eternal life, eternal fire. So there's eternal life and there's eternal fire as well. Eternal fire where men and women, sadly, will not make it into the kingdom of God, but be cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says hell enlarges itself. When you read that scriptures over in the Old Testament, how the Bible says hell enlarges itself. I can imagine hell being so big. It was made for the devil and his angels. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. Stay with me tonight. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. It was only so big. 30 of the angels fell. But every day it grows. I believe God, he wants to keep it at a certain size, but it begins to expand just a little bit more. Maybe you can bring it up for me. Look it up for me, that verse. Hell enlarges itself. And so it begins to expand. It begins to expand one soul at a time, just a little bit further. I believe God's mercy says, I don't want to make it any bigger than what it's supposed to be, but it expands a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And so we think about this, and we look at all these different things. What is it? Tell me what it is. Isaiah 5:14. I didn't have any written down, but the Lord dropped it in my heart. And she pulls it up there. It was made for the devil and his angels. This is a very sad case. As we've been on this Bible study for nearly a half an hour now, hell has enlarged itself. He said, therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp, in other words, pride. I'm not going to change. Oh, the church this, the church that. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to worship God my own way. I'm going to believe what I want to believe. This, that, and the other. They justify themselves of why they live the way they live. And he that rejoices shall descend into it. Let's pull up verse 15 as well. The mean men shall be brought down. The mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment. Verse 16. And God the Holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Let's stop there. We have to come back to that another time. But you think about that. Hell is real, brothers. Let's go back to Jude. I got a lot to cover. Man, I'm only halfway through this thing. The Bible goes on and says in verse 8. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Filthy dreamers. Oh, I got a vision. You got all these visions, but can't live for God. You can't stop lying and cheating and stealing and cursing. Oh, I got a vision. The Lord told me this and that and the other. Yeah. But he didn't tell you not to, you know, do other, live right. You can't live right, though. The Bible goes on and says, let's look further. Filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. And so they become self-righteous. Oh, the Lord, I know the word of God. I'm going to do it this way. They defile. When we teach and preach, I ain't coming back to your church. You know, your church is all right, but hey, you know, a reason they get up out of there, why? Because we're straight shooting. We're shooting straight often. We're shooting straight. Amen. And it pricks the hearts of men and women. The Bible goes on and says in verse 9, and so they despise authority. Back to what I was saying, they despise authority and become a law unto themselves. I wouldn't even go to church. I can't find a church that I like. I can't find a church that this church is that. This one's this. So I'll just worship on my own. So they despise dominion. In verse 8 again, they despise dominion. Let's go to verse 9. He says, hey, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses and durst not bring against him railing accusations, but said the Lord rebuked him. And so he was dealing with the conflict. They even fought. The devils even fought over the Moses' body. Moses' dead body. Can you imagine? That was a war for the bones of Moses, for the body of Moses. The devil, he despised Moses. He despised the children of God. Can you imagine him fighting over a dead body? That's how seriously the devil is. And naturally, again, it's a lot behind that. We have to go into that teaching. But there's a lot behind that in itself. You can even go a little deeper about it. He was trying, perhaps some even say, trying to steal his DNA to alter and use that in a different way. There's so much wickedness going on way back then. Wicked science now it happened. Lucifer has power. He has knowledge. He's wise. Now, how do you think he was able to mix man with angels and create the giants? Because again, today Lucifer again had certain wisdom and knowledge. And so naturally, why did he want the body of Moses? Why? Maybe to defile it, steal something from it, or to shame it. Who knows? But the Bible goes on in verse 10. He says, but these speak evil of those things which know not. But what they know naturally, a brute beast, and those things that they corrupt themselves. And so he was just saying that same spirit of rebellion, that same rebellious spirit that the fallen angels had lives in people today. That same rebellion. Again, you say, I got a problem with rebellion. Hey, let the Holy Ghost live in you. You rebel against rebellion. How's that? Start rebelling against your own personal rebellion and humble yourself under God. We need to humble ourselves. And when that rebellious spirit pops up, that's the thing. That's a spirit of the devil, spirit of pride. Kick that thing down. Stop rebelling against God. The Bible says in verse 10, he says, these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally are brute beasts. He considers them as brute beasts. You ever see somebody who's in ultimate rebellion? They like a wild animal, is what he said. Wild beast in our world today. Rebellion. Rebellion. Rebellion in our streets. Rebellious children. Rebellious adults. Rebellion. It's an ugly thing to see it. It's an ugly thing to see it. And so he called them brute beasts. and they corrupt themselves. It's a corrupted mind, really, and it needs to be born again. He says, put on the mind of Christ. Jesus was the total opposite of rebellion. And Christians today, we need to be total opposite of rebellion tonight. We need to humble ourselves and walk and follow the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Number, where did I leave off? Okay, so let me give you a little bit more. The Old Testament, next section, he talks about the Old Testament rebellion. Again, and there he talks about them falling in the wilderness and the fallen angels we covered and Sodom and Gomorrah. He talked about Moses as well. Let's go to verse 11. He said, and so he gave a warning about rebellion and a warning about false teaching. Verse 11, the Bible says, warn to them, they have gone the way of Cain, rebellious, murderous heart. And you may not murder somebody physically, but you can murder them with your words and your lifestyle. You can murder them with your attitude. You can murder somebody with the things you say. He says, run greedily after the error of Balaam. And he used another example about Balaam for reward and perish, the gainsaying in the core. He gave some rebellious examples in the Old Testament. We have to go into that another time. Go back and read about Korah. Go back and read about Balaam and Cain. Rebellious people, rebelled against God, did horrible things. Again today, because when God is not in your heart, when you're fighting against God, you open yourself up to anything. When you open up yourself to the evil, man, people do anything. That's why you turn on the news, you see all manners of evil. There are things that the news don't even talk about. There are things that's not even being caught behind closed doors. There are things going on during this Bible study right now as we speak in someone's home that is absolutely a horrific event that never ever is being seen by our fellow men. By your peers. It can go all under the radar for a man, a woman's whole life. But God sees and God knows. And there will be an answer for it. So pray for people. That's why we go out and we invite people, because you never know what people are going through. You never know what people are dealing with, the evils that people are dealing with. And that's why we must be going on. I share with you the other day, continue to pray for the Pantheon family. I share with you, I said, perhaps if we would have caught those young men, if we were out there in the streets, and we need you to go out there in the streets with us, to go out there, perhaps we can only cover, only two or three people can only cover so much. It's only two hands, four hands, six hands, six, four, five, six people that's doing it. And so think about this. We need 20, 30, 40, 50, hundreds of people to go out and share the gospel. You can be the one that could have stopped that. You could have been the one that brought that man to church. You could have been the one that invited this one. You could have been the one that invited the subway shooter. If I know now, he maybe could have come and gotten saved before all the horrific events that take place every day. We need you, because the enemies, the Bible says the enemy is roaming to and fro throughout the earth. And why not the Christian? Let's come on, Christians. Let's roam throughout the earth as well and combat and go to war for our city, go to war for our community. We're going to come back to that. Amen. Let's look at this. I got to get through this, folks. I hope that, let this lodge in your heart tonight. This is what it says. These are spots in your feast of charity. So these false teachers, these false, ugly spots in the church. And so that's why the devil has plants in the church and plants in the services. Why? I was sharing my wife and them the other day. We have a big event. The devil's going to always try to find a way to plant something and disrupt something, to cause something negative to happen, to ruin the whole feast, or to ruin the whole celebration, to ruin the whole fellowship. The devil, God's going to always have devils mixed in to do what? To try to ruin the environment. We had a barbecue one time. Maybe she's watching. People came to church first time. And one of the sisters sat her cell phone down. Had a lot of people, over 100-some people. Had a going on a glorious time. Kids playing. Everybody's having a good time. Nice event. These people came to church, stole this lady's cell phone. And it really brought down the spirit, because she's running around looking for the cell phone. Well, she got a cell phone. She was able to track her phone back to the people's house. I had the people's address. The people signed the guest book. Well, I said, yep, that's the people right there. And so we nailed them down, tracked the people down. Don't you know that one lady died several months later? Another lady's been in and out of jail, the two ladies. One's been in and out of jail, and the other lady died a couple of months later, sadly. And so the devil will put plants in there. Naturally, they're not saved. They wasn't saved. So, again, that's natural. But he also puts plants in the church that, quote unquote, work for the church, that, quote unquote, are leaders of the church, quote unquote, Sunday school teachers, whatever case may be, choir members. He'll do all these different things, plants, to cause division and cause things to happen to where it ruins the spirit. And so we must look at this again. He says, these are spots in your feast. You mess up the whole dinner, mess up the whole fellowship because of an attitude, because of something that's blown out of proportion. I need some guardians. I need some people that's going to be strong and be able to have thick skin and be able to work and begin to care for people in their faults, care for people and try to win them over their spots in their feasts. The Bible says, and when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds are without water, carried about winds, trees whose fruits were withered with. He says, without fruits, twice dead, plucked up out of roots. He said, man, these folks is just as dead as can be. He said, they like clouds without water. They bring shade. The kids talk about bringing shade in. They brought the shade in, putting shade on this, putting shade on that. He said, they like clouds without water. You know, block the sunshine, block the glorious day. Amen. And so he looked at us a little bit more. He says, they carried about by winds. Again, some little easy thing besets you. Some little easy thing will get you off kilter. Something happens and you lose the victory. And so we must be silent. We covered our day. We must be silent. We need some solid people to have thick skin, to know how to work with people, to know how to deal with people's faults and failures. Amen. The Bible goes on to say, because why are we trying to win them over? The Bible goes on to say here, carried about by winds and he says even twice then. So he was dealing with really that false teachings. Again, false teachings. We appreciate each one, but the false teachers that were in there. He said they're dead as all get out, plucked up by the roots. Number 13, he says, raging waves of sea. This is, he said, their attitudes and their spirits behind them. There are some evil people that quote the name of Christ, that name the name of Christ. Preachers, teachers, choir members, deacon board members. He said they're raging waves. And that's why it's important for us as a pastor, we try to nip it in the bud, or we try to deal with it, or even don't even use certain people because of that. We know who they are. They need to be saved first before they can do the work of the Lord. The Bible says, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So in Christ, in name only, Christian in name only, but on the inside, they don't even know Christ. Christian in name only. Oh, yes, I love Jesus. Yes, absolutely. But on the inside, as black as can be, as corrupt as can be. Let's go to verse 14. Stay with me tonight. Long, short book, but long Bible study. How's that? The Bible says, and Enoch also, seventh from Adam, prophesied these sayings. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. We look forward to that day. Enoch told him, he says, hey, the Lord will return. The Bible says, to execute judgment upon all. One day. The Reverend saying something about the other day about one day. We're going to all come in the clouds and battle Armageddon and absolutely destroy the works of the devil to come back and eradicate Satan and his armies and eradicate the armies of evil here on the earth, mankind. And Jesus is going to come and cleanse the earth. He's going to come and bind up all rebellion. The Bible says, when 10,000 of his saints, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, but when the saints come back, I want to be within that number. How about you? The Bible says in verse 15, to execute judgment upon all and convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. And so those that have fought against God, those that have shook their fists at God, those that have fought against the church, those that have gotten angry with the believers in God, there will be a day. There will be a day that God will judge. That's why Jesus already knew it. That's why we must take that same example. And Jesus said, forgive me. When I went to the back Sunday morning, they was wrapping up the teaching. And the verse, the scripture that was coming, my daughter said, it was giving a memory verse. She said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I asked my wife, I think it was, she asked the question, what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know what? People don't understand what they're doing. And so we as a Christian, until the Lord brings judgment upon, until the Lord brings the judgment, which he will one day, we must continue to try to witness to them, win them over. And again, a lot of times you'd be surprised. The Apostle Paul was one of these ones. He was a fighter against the church. The Apostle Paul is a prime example of how people's hearts can be changed. All it takes is one touch. They may not be this way right now. And a lot of times people mistake people in the congregation. When new people come, people been around, whatever the case may be. But again, you got to let people grow. You got to let people learn from the Word of God. They may not know right now, but over time, no doubt there will be changes. And really, that's our job. Our job is to continue to help love upon them and persuade them to Christ. But he says, but he was dealing with the ungodliness and dealing with the falsehoods and warning Jude. Jude warning the people, beware of these things that are creeping into the church. Number 16 says, these are murmurers. And so he went on a little bit further about who the type of people that are doing this. They're murmurers. They're always complaining. The Bible says we must walk away from that. We should do all things without murmuring, which is complaining. Always crying. Complaining about this. And they complained about that. This, that, and the other. The Bible says they had bad attitudes, walking in their own lust, in their flesh. And the mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. They can preach some of the greatest messages, say some of the greatest scriptures, and sound so religious and so this, that, and the other. But behind closed doors, or even sometimes in your face, life is a mess. And so he was letting them know, watch out for the falsehood. And again, these are some of the ones who cause people not to want to come to church, because I don't want to go to church because there's hypocrites in the church. But that should never, ever, ever be a good, it's not a good negative excuse. Come to service anyway. Come to church anyway. Why? Because that's not going to be a good enough excuse to escape for you the way you live your life. What have you done for Christ? You come. You don't have to be a hypocrite. I tell people all the time, they may be a hypocrite, but you don't have to be. You don't have to be one. And so naturally, yes, there will be. It's nothing new under the sun. This happened recently, a couple of years after Jesus had left. Jude had to deal with this stuff. So it's nothing new. Nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. Part three, as we close up, verse 17 and 19. He said, he begins to tell them, defend yourselves and contend for the faith. The one against corruption. Let's look at some more here. Verse 17, beloved, remember the words which you have spoken by the prophets of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last times. And so who should walk after their own ungodly lusts? Number 19, these are they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. That's really the bottom line right there. Having not the Spirit. And Christian in name only, doing it in the flesh. People who serve God in the flesh don't make it. People who serve God in the flesh don't make it. Or, again, they doing it in name only, but not real on the inside. We need his Spirit on the inside. And so he said there will be mockers in the last days of these things. Mockers of the truth teaching churches. Mockers of those that, you want them get right churches. You want them holy churches. Hey, they mock at that. They mock it. The world mocks at that. They laugh at that. They laugh at it. And then you wonder why these larger places have scandals all the time. And the smaller churches have scandals too. Don't get me wrong. Again, but that holy church, that, and again, there will always be issues in every church. But you find, again, you say, well, how did this and that, the other? How's why? Again, the Spirit of God is missing in the heart of that individual. We must be filled with the Holy Ghost. We must be filled with his Holy Spirit. The Bible says in verse 20, how do we combat these things? He says, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We must pray in the Holy Ghost. We are a Bible-believing church that believes in the baptism in, with, and of the Holy Ghost. You, after you name the name of Christ, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. A lot of your issues will fade away having the Holy Ghost. You're going to come back perfect. Well, the Holy Ghost will help perfect you. What is the Holy Baptism of the Holy Ghost? Again, we don't want a fleshly church, but we want a Holy Ghost filled church. Not a fleshly church where everybody's touchy-feely attitudes, all different things. We want a holy church. Naturally, people are going to be people, but again, God has holy people. We should be a holy people as unto him. He says, follow me. No doubt, as he followed Christ and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, live holy. He says, be ye holy, for he is holy. And the Holy Ghost makes us holy. He says, many fall away because they do not have the Holy Ghost baptism. Let's go to Acts chapter 19 real quick. Acts 19, 1 through 8. I'm going to read through it quickly. What is the Holy Ghost? What is the Holy Spirit? It's the third person of the Godhead, third person of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So when Jesus went back into heaven, he sent down the Holy Ghost on Pentecost to fill the church with what they needed. Because if they didn't get the Holy Ghost, all of them probably would have faded away eventually. Peter, James, John, all of them, it would have fell apart. But the Holy Ghost was that difference maker. And let's read it. And he says here, I'm going to give you an example. In the book of Acts, some of John's disciples didn't even know about the Holy Ghost. He says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passing through the upper coast of Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So they were believers, but he said they never received the Holy Ghost. He asked him, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost? What is the Holy Ghost? I don't know about the Holy Ghost. It's not for us today. He may see people, you know, fall all over the place and do cartwheels down the aisle and all these things. So sometimes, again, we must be careful with that. But the Bible tells us here, he says, the Holy Ghost, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Holy Ghost baptism. He says, and they say, we have not so much as heard that being your. We haven't even heard about the Holy Ghost. What are you talking about? And this is after Pentecost. But apparently they didn't hear about the Holy Ghost. And throughout time, we endeavor to teach about the Holy Ghost. Every service, we give people opportunity to come get filled with the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost to maintain your salvation, to go on and live the victorious life, to stay, resist sin, to resist the devil, and to stay uprightly before him. You need the Holy Ghost. It'll keep you out the nightclub. It'll keep you out the bed with somebody you're not married to. It'll clean up that cursing tongue. It'll keep your mind right. It'll keep you from falling. It'll keep you from falling away. It'll keep you in church. It'll keep you coming to church. It'll keep you praying. The Holy Ghost will keep you reading your Bible when you have the Holy Ghost. The Bible goes on and says here, and he said unto them, what is then what you baptize? He said, what was you baptizing? He said unto him, John's baptism, which was water. So they only had a water baptism experience. The Bible says, and then said Paul, John verily baptized with the repentance, baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him and should come after him. He said, that is on Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So naturally, they knew about repentance, the born again experience. Various things, the baptism of John, which was repent of their sin. But again, the baptism of Christ, baptism in his blood, and also the baptism in with the Holy Ghost was another form of baptism. And so the Bible says that when Christ, or when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues. How do you know you have the Holy Ghost? So you can speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives others. The real tongues. Amen. Holy Ghost filled tongue talking folks. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit is a heavenly language that God gives to the believer. It's not known by man. It's not unless God gives an interpretation of it. But it's a heavenly language that you communicate. It's a spiritual prayer. Speaking in tongues. The Bible says in prophesy. Number 7, he says, and all men were about 12. And they went to the synagogue and spake boldly. When they got filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak boldly, not ashamed of the gospel. They had a new zeal, a new power. The Holy Ghost is power in your life. It's fire. It burns up the chaff. It burns up unbelief. It burns up doubt. It burns up the desires of the flesh. And it begins to allow you to be with boldness, to go soul winning with us, to go tell somebody about Jesus, to not be ashamed of the gospel. The Holy Ghost gives us boldness. And for about the space of 3 months, they spoke boldly in the temples. And why did they go to the synagogue? Because that's where all the religious folks were. That's where the Pharisees were, the Sadducees. And they were still holding on to the laws of Moses and denouncing Christ. But they went in there and began to preach about Jesus, to tell the world about Jesus, to tell people about the Lord, the Savior of the world. We must continue to do it. The devil's bold. The church must be bold as well to combat that mess. The Bible goes on and says, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. So they went in there and disputed. They went in there and held up the scriptures. They went in there and taught them about Jesus. They went in there and destroyed false teachers. And this is what Jude was doing as well. He said, we must do the same thing. Let's go back to Jude 21 as we almost done. The Bible says the Holy Ghost will keep you. So, actually, verse 20 one more time. He says, so, beloved, build yourself up. You must pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost all the time. He says, pray in the Holy Spirit He says, building yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It builds you up. You must pray in the Holy Ghost. We pray naturally in English, Spanish, whatever you pray in, French, whatever. But you know, we need the Holy Ghost prayer as well. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Verse 21 of Jude. He says, keep yourself. It will keep you in the love of God. It will keep you from drifting. The Holy Ghost says, don't go to the left. You can't. Don't do that. Don't think that way. The Holy Ghost keeps us in check. The Holy Ghost will convict us. It's the convictor. You need to pray about that. You need to pray that through. Repent of that. Get that right. Get your mind right. Get your heart right. That's how the Holy Ghost works. I'm not gonna look at that. I'm not gonna think that way. I'm not gonna get myself involved in those sinful acts. I'm not gonna give in to my flesh. The Holy Ghost. The Bible goes on and says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So you keep yourself in the love of God all the way to the end, all the way to my death, all the way to my grave, all the way to the rapture of the church, whichever comes first. The Bible says in verse 22, the Holy Ghost also will give you compassion. One of the fruits of the Spirit is love or compassion. He gives us the compassion of Christ to care about others. The compassion making a difference. And so in the church today, let the Holy Ghost reign in us and rule in us. Let us go make a difference in somebody's life. As he called it a holy faith, to keep your faith holy. Our faith in Christ should be a holy faith, not a corrupted faith, but a holy faith. Prayers and love of God. Focus on the way of life and right living. It helps you to focus, to live right, to do right all the days of your life. And I just say, if you fall, the Holy Ghost will kick in and say, pray. You need to hit that altar. You need to come down to that altar and get right with God. You need to pray it through. Don't wait till Sunday either. Pray immediately. Make it right. Say, God, forgive me of that. The Holy Ghost will convict us. But when we don't have the Holy Spirit, it'll go and it'll compound and compound. And you'll go into sin and shame, on and on and on, and then eventually fall away. That's what exactly what they're doing. He wants a powerless church. He wants a church that does not know to follow the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a guide and a comfort. It's a guide that teaches us in all righteousness. The Bible says the Holy Ghost will teach you in righteousness. It'll teach you in righteousness. So the Holy Spirit will guide you. Say, that's not right. Get over here. Don't think that way. Don't do that. Make that right with God. So we need. That's why the devil doesn't teach, allow churches to teach about the Holy Ghost. He don't want the church to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because if we be filled with the Holy Ghost, man, you will be the total opposite of what Jude was talking about was happening. The flesh kicked in to the church. The flesh and ungodly ways kicked into the church. So any and everybody was doing their own thing, not living the life that they proclaimed. And so that's why everybody was sleeping around. It wasn't a big deal for them to go to the club, then go to the church and be in the club, leave the church house and turn on the radio and bop to their rap music, on and on and on. God would deliver. When I got saved, man, God delivered me from that mess. Because why? It hurt. The cursing, it hurt. The lying, it bothered me. The things in which we used to get involved in no longer existed. Why? Because there was a change. I was clean on the inside. And God, when he cleans you up, you don't want the Holy Ghost. It's a barrier. It blocks certain things out. It's a sensors go off. Turn that junk off. Because you now have a temple. Your body is a temple now. The things you let into your body is a temple. The things you see, the things you're looking at. Some of you looking at pornography and various things, that's of the devil. Drinking and your body, it shouldn't be in your body. Drugs, alcohol, lust, all the different things is entering in. That's of the devil, brothers and sisters. They got mad at you. Some of you get mad at me, but they got mad at you as well. It's all right. It comes with the territory. But you go back and look at this video, you go back and hear, or you get come across this video, you can't say that we didn't tell you the truth. I'm just giving what Jude told him. And the Lord dropped this in my heart years ago. The book of Jude was placed right next to the book of Revelation, which we'll go into next week. The book of Revelation, the last book, the book of Apocalypse, the book of the last days, the end time events. Everybody wants to know about that. But he stuck Jude right before that. Strategically, this book of Jude is right before the book of Revelation. And so he was dealing with the Christian folks first. Those that name the name of Christ first. Get church, get right there. And you go back and read Revelation, we'll cover next week, chapters 1-3, he deals with the church first. The churches first. Jude dealt with the churches first. The religious crowd, he dealt with them, say, hey, you can't live that way and still name the name of Christ. It's real talk, folks. Jude was there to tell them. Because he saw his brother's work, the work of the Lord, his half-brother, Jesus, All he did, he says, this is not what Jesus taught. I live with the man. I grew up with the man. I know what he wanted us to portray. And so naturally, he had to deal with it sternly to clean it up, to clean it up. Hey, man, let's finish up. Number 21, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking on the mercy of Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Having compassion, making a difference. Number 23, he says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Come out of the fire. This type of teaching is that it pull you out of the fire, to get you out of the mess. Get out of the fire and get into the fire of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, hating the garment spotted by the flesh. We despise what the devil did in our lives. Despise sin. Despise ungodliness. That's the way a Christian should be. Despise ungodliness. Preacher, you going along tonight? Yeah, you sit there and look at the movie for 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours. Stick around. The game is on, preacher. Hey, it's all right. They're going to dribble away. Game is a game. Nothing new under the sun. You see that play? Hey, see this play, the word of God tonight. Let's finish up. The Bible goes on and says this. I tell them all the time. I go back and see the highlights of the game. In verse 24, now the Lord is able to keep you. So the Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit is able to keep you from falling. It's possible. Oh, we can't live that way. The Bible, that's contrary to what the Bible says. The Lord is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless. What? Faultless. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And how we made faultless? By the cleansing of the blood. Prayed up. We say prayed up oftentimes means repented. Your record, now my record is clear today. For he washed my sins away. And so you prayed up. You stayed up. Your record's clear. Amen. And so faultless. So when you do give up the ghost. We don't know when I could die tonight in my sleep. Have I prayed up? Have I repented? Have I made things right with the Lord? The Bible says, unto the exceeding joy, so we can enter into the exceeding joy of God. Verse 25, the last verse. To the only wise God and Savior. God is a wise God. He knows exactly what he's doing. He says, and Savior be glory. Glory to God. Let the glory of the Lord rest upon you. Let his majesty, he's a supreme, awesome, almighty God. Let him live in you. The power of the blood is greater than sin. The power of the Holy Ghost is greater than temptation. Let it dwell in your hearts. Dominion. The Bible says no longer let sin have dominion over you. Go back and read it in Romans. No longer let sin have dominion over you. The power of God should be greater than sin. So it's a lie and an excuse of the devil. The way you say you can't escape it. You can if you want to. You can if you want to. You have to let God have right rulership. And that's why if he's Lord, he has dominion in your life. The Bible goes on and says, empower. The power of the Holy Ghost, the power of God is great enough to raise you up and to live as he lived. And the Bible says both now and forever. It wasn't just for them back then, but it's forever here in 2022 and beyond. Live right. Let's walk uprightly. And Jude dealt with these issues as we close. Jude dealt with these issues because the church was a mess. The church world was a mess. It's not how loud you shout. It's not what you type in the comments. How do you live your life? How do you live your life? When nobody's watching. Or when the winds and waves blow, how is your walk with God? In terms of that, we must keep ourselves every day. All of us, from me to you. I'm not just dishing this stuff out. I speak it, I believe it, and I have to live it myself. I can't just be a false teacher. I must preach the truth, live the truth, walk uprightly before him every day of my life. And I'm only doing this because, again, today we endeavor to set the example for you. And I'm trying to do that all the days of my Christian walk. Amen. It's not in and out. I can't have 1 foot in the world and 1 foot out of the world and get up there and preach to you. Can do it. Got to walk the walk, live the life, walk the walk, talk the talk. And that's what Jude was saying. We must walk the walk and talk the talk, live the life of Christ. Not because if not, we only hurt ourselves anyway. I'm only going to hurt myself anyway. Oh, yeah, I look good. I look good in front of everybody else. But in my heart, I'm going to die and lose my soul because I'm not being true to God, true to myself. God bless that prayer. Hope you got the teachings. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at you. Get mad at God. But again, these are the truth. That the truth shall make you free. Amen. When you come to that place, say, you know what? I'm religious. I'm not saved. I don't want to be religious. I want to be saved. I want to be real. And don't try to put me into heaven if I'm not living the life that I'm supposed to live. Amen. And God clearly told you, we can't go to heaven if we're not living the life. Jude was letting them know it was out of love that he did this. It was out of love why he rebuked those Pharisees and said, he was trying to let them know they were in error. Thank God for his word and for the truth to let us know when we're in error. Listen to the voice of God. And when you're in error, run to Jesus. Get it right. Pray that. Again, the greatest thing the enemy can do, as I close, the greatest thing the enemy wants to do is for us to live in sin, unrepented sin, and let that thing hang over our heads and never, ever, ever, ever repent of our sins. Amen. Or have the false doctrine that you can live that way and it's okay. It's not okay. It's clear here in the word of God. God bless you. I pray we'll see you Thursday night in person. 334 Ashford Street. Come on out. Be with us. Come be with us. Don't be a loaf and a fish's crowd. Don't just be a CME. See, what's a CME Christian? Christmas, Mother Day, Easter Christian. No. You need to be a daily walk. Be in service with us on Thursday night. Come on back. We miss you on Thursday nights. Miss you on Sundays. Come on out. Be with us in the house of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I pray. We'll see you soon.